Welcome to the FTN NBA Podcast with your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Joe Metz. Presented by the FTN Network, this two-man fast break runs you through the best cash and tournament options for every game on today's slate.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back once again to the FTN Fantasy NBA Podcast presented by the FTN Network. Adam Pfeiffer here, joined by another awesome guest from FTN Daily, one of my colleagues. It was Javi Perlezzo last night. Now it's Kyle Murray, who runs a ton of stuff over at FTN Daily. Projections for any sport you can think of, basketball, golf. I know he was doing some golf stuff before we hopped on. Football, baseball starting up. I don't know. You doing hockey too, Kyle? What's going on, man?
Not hockey, unfortunately, but the four. Slacker. You know, doing some. Yeah, doing some league stuff. Haven't posted any league stuff yet, but I was in the Discord last night, so we're trying to do all the sports right now while we have them, you know, so we got to enjoy it.
Yeah. We have a five-game slate here on Thursday night, and the NBA continues to be the best soap opera on television. I mean, the Rockets play on Tuesday night. They get blown out by the Lakers. James Harden plays badly. In his press conference, he's talking about how the team's not good enough and he's giving it his all to the city. And it just sounds like it sounds almost like he's walking out of the press conference and he's never coming back. And then, of course, you know, less than 24 hours later, he gets traded. And we'll talk about it because there's only five games, but it wasn't just your typical Harden goes to the Nets and the Nets give, you know, the Rockets picks back. That was part of it, but this I don't know if you were on Twitter when it happened, but it's like, okay, the trade got announced, Harden to Brooklyn, and everybody kind of assumed it was picks and maybe Kyrie Irving, but definitely like Caris LeVert and Jared Allen, and that's what a lot of people thought would be the end of it. And we saw LeVert got traded. We're like, okay, cool, LeVert's gonna be Rocket. And then all of a sudden Woj comes in and says, oh, by the way, the Pacers are trading Oladipo for Caris LeVert, and oh, by the way, the Cavs are in this trade acquiring Jared Allen. And it was just absolutely crazy. So Harden goes to Brooklyn. They get, what, four first-round picks, four pick swaps, Kurucs, who's kind of just a throw-in, and then they also got, like, one of the Cleveland's first-round picks for Jared Allen. They just got a bunch of picks, and it's insane. Harden's a Brooklyn Net. Jared Allen and Torian Prince are members of the Cavs. Victor Oladipo's a Rocket, and now Caris LeVert's a Pacer. I mean, let's just start. I guess we can talk about it real quick because the Rockets and Pacers do play on this slate. But I mean, what were your thoughts? I mean, it was a very fun afternoon on Twitter.
Yeah, it was a roller coaster, that's for sure. Like, typically you can kind of like see where things are going to go based on the reports that we're getting from, you know, guys like Woj and Shams and all those guys. And when they first said that they were going to, if they were to make a deal with the Sixers, it was going to be, you know, Ben Simmons and Maxey and Tucker would go with Harden. And so typically when that kind of news comes out, like when there's like details like that, yeah. At that point I was like, okay, he's going to Philly.
Everybody thought that. Like Steph thought it. Yeah. Kalachi was ready for it. His pants were off and they were quickly put back on. Yeah. That's what it sounded like. And then once that report came, I was like, all right, it's probably Simmons, Thibault, maybe Korkmaz, and a couple firsts for Harden and Tucker. I was like, that's going to be the trade.
Yeah, and then news just kept coming. Woj just kept, you know, adding more details to the trade and all that stuff. And my initial thought was, okay, obviously Brooklyn's getting Harden. But then I was like, wow, they're giving up a lot. And we talked about it on the live stream today, and we were like, okay, they need to win or else it's kind of going to feel like
they don't win a title. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and like obviously they have all the weapons to do so. Like, they're not even really short on role players. Like, I still think that they're fine with role players. Like, obviously losing Caris LeVert is a big loss. I think losing Jared Allen for the long term is tough, but you still have DeAndre Jordan there, who obviously he's not the same guy he once was, but you know, he can still fill in and get things done. Plus, like, you have all the scoring you really are ever going to need.
It reminds me of the Cavs when they had LeBron and like Kyrie, and it's just like,
yeah.
They had Timofey Mozgov playing center for them for a lot of those games. Like, you don't need anybody too special at center. And they have Joe Harris still, which is nice to keep him. They really just need, like, to add – I think they have three roster spots left. They just need – like, a backup center and a couple of role players. And you know there's going to be buyouts soon. And some of these veterans are going to be like, yeah, I'll go to Brooklyn, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, as more news came in, the Oladipo part of the news, I think, was huge for Indiana. Yeah. Like, I think that was a great move by them. I know, obviously, a lot of the eyes are on the Nets and the Rockets because they're getting all those picks. But just being able to replace Oladipo. I know there's contract and stuff like that. I haven't really looked into it too much. I'm pretty sure Oladipo is either on his contract year or he's 1 year away from it.
Oladipo's a free agent after this season, and there was rumors speculating that he wasn't happy with Indiana and wasn't going to come back. So to get a second-round pick and Caris LeVert, who's at this point probably an upgrade over Oladipo, just given the fact that Oladipo's not quite back to 100%, like, massive win for the Pacers, because it didn't sound like Oladipo was going to be back next year anyway. And, like, lost T.J. Warren to injury, so, like, they need to replace him scoring, and LeVert's going to fit right in there. I think it's such a good move by them.
Yeah, like, I think LeVert is already better than Oladipo. I think he might even be better than what Oladipo was in his All-Star year a couple two years ago. And then LeVert has potential still. Like, he's still a younger guy, and I think he is just one of the – it's so surprised that the Nets were able to trade and acquire someone like James Harden with Caris LeVert in that package, because I think he was such a prime piece of, like, value for NBA. So, yeah, I think that was a great move by the Pacers. And then even the Cavs just scooping up Jared Allen for nothing. Like, they gave up Dante Exum, a guy that they could be fine just never playing him again, even if they had him fully healthy. I know he was banged up a little bit, but they could have been just fine never playing him again.
They gave up a first round pick, but it was Milwaukee's first round pick. So it's like, that's going to be like a bottom six pick in the first round. And Jared Allen is 22 years old. Like, clearly they're center of the future. Drummond could be on the move. Who knows? Jared Allen, like, I'm a Cavs fan, and I was at first I was like, what the hell, we're getting another center, but then I thought about it, I was like, yeah, this guy's 22 years old, and he's shown, like, immense potential, like, he's only going to get better, so that was really interesting.
Yeah, like, it's not like Cleveland needs him, but it's just to get him for essentially, not nothing because of the pick, but, like, they're not going to miss those assets, so, I think that was a good move by them as well, so a lot of winners. I think Houston obviously won, getting rid of Harden, which sucks, but it clearly wasn't working out there anymore.
Imagine if he came back, like, and played tonight in this game after pretty much just, trashing the team. DeMarcus Cousins was pissed off. John Wall was pissed off. Then coming back, not getting traded, and going, hey, let's play. But again, it didn't sound like he was going to play until they traded him with the news he wasn't going to be at practice. So, yeah, we'll talk about it, man. It's crazy. The Rockets are on the slate. The Pacers are on the slate. And then there's four other games. The first one is kind of easy, though. Let's get this out of the way. Miami at Philadelphia. We just saw this game on Monday night. The Sixers are getting a little bit healthier. Tobias Harris, Shake Milton, and Matisse Thybulle are expected to be back. But Miami is still depleted. You know, no Jimmy Butler, no Bam Adebayo, no Goran Dragic, no Kendrick Nunn, no Avery Bradley. They're just missing everybody still. And we saw the Heat were, the key to the slate on Monday, where they had eight guys in the rotation. They all played huge minutes. Obviously, the game went to overtime. But are we going right back to these Heat guys? I mean, Tyler Hero's 7,300, which may seem expensive, but he played 39 minutes. He had a 33% usage rate. He touched the ball 92 times, which is like 30 more than his season average. Like, given the fact that this team has nobody right now other than him, it's really hard to just not say, okay, you can play Tyler Hero, you can play Precious Achiuwa, you can play Duncan Robinson, you can play Gabe Vincent. Like, is it the same kind of thought process for you with the Miami guys?
Yeah, I mean, nothing's really changed. Like, they have the same rotation. They're not getting anybody back for this one. And Vincent apparently got banged up, but he's probable. Leonard is doubtful, so I would assume he has almost no chance to play. The only thing is, a lot of these guys got price bumps. Like, Olynyk is 6'4 now, but he played 45 minutes last game. So, like, you can kind of stomach that price with those kinds of minutes. But, it's just going to kind of depend on where we're going to value them based on their price tags. But, like, even somebody like Gabe Vincent, who played, 36 minutes last game at 4'2 now? I don't mind that price. So, like, there are plenty of guys here that I think you can still take shots on. And obviously their minutes are going to be pretty much secure, because there's nothing that they can do to get around it, really. Hero and Robinson are going to have to play as many minutes as they can. That game did go to overtime, so a little bit less on those comparisons to last game. But, yeah, Hero.
But even Duncan Robinson, like, if you take away overtime, he played 41 minutes.
I guess my favorites would be Hero and Robinson, because Hero, he was very bad. He struggled a lot in the first half, but we saw how quickly he could put up points in that overtime and in the end of the fourth quarter, where he can just get going, and you know he's going to shoot. Like, he took 26 attempts last game. The game before that, he took 20, and there were, similar guys. I think Bam was out for that one, but Jimmy Butler was there, if I'm not if I'm not wrong. But yeah, he's going to shoot a lot, and he's going to have a massive usage rate with all these guys off the floor. He's running the team, and they're going to rely on him to create his own shot a ton. So I don't mind that price tag for Hero at all.
Yeah, I agree. Hero and Robinson are my two favorites. Robinson's still really fairly priced. He took, I think, 18 shots in that game, facing a Sixers team that allows the most points per game off screens this year, which bodes well for Duncan Robinson. And then you have Precious Achiuwa, who started. He played pretty strong minutes, obviously, as well. 13 rebounds. He had 23 rebounding opportunities. He's 4,200. I think he's the next guy up. Yeah. Kelly Olynyk would be easier to get away from at 6,400 if he was only center eligible, but he's also power forward eligible, which really changes things because there are centers around his price range that you can make the case for with him. I mean, you have Aldridge at 6,700 if DeRozan's out, Miles Turner, Chris Boucher, PJ Washington, Draymond is center eligible. He's still really cheap. So like if he was only center eligible, it'd be different, but he's also power forward eligible, which is huge. What about the Sixers though? Because now they're not full strength, but outside of Seth Curry and Korkmaz, I guess they kind of are. Embiid is smashing. He's 10K. He went off for over 80 fantasy points in their last game, just playing at an MVP caliber level. I don't think at 10K the return of Harris and Shake Milton does much for me. I think he's still a really strong play, especially because this any defensive metrics or DVP numbers for Miami you look at right now are just need to be thrown out the window because half their team's gone. Yeah. Not to mention Bam's gone, which is the most important piece of that when you're looking at Embiid. So he's easily the guy I'm looking to, but I also have some interest in Shake Milton I'll talk about in a second. But who do you like from the Sixers, if anybody?
Yeah, it'll be interesting because I don't know. Part of me feels like Maxey's just earned a spot in this rotation, even with Milton coming back. Like he was already pretty firmly in there with, like, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes at times. But, you know, now if we're going to see him around 24, 25 minutes, obviously that's tougher to play at this price tag. But I guess it's more just something to note in the future. And then, yeah, Milton's going to be good. He's probable now. So that's but for Embiid, yeah, like 10K, no doubt about that. I think that's totally fine. They just don't have anybody to match up with him. Like Olynyk, we saw it last game. They just can't do anything to stop him here. And like you mentioned, Bam being out and Butler and even Avery Bradley, all these guys being out, those are like they're probably three of their better defenders. So yeah, like you mentioned, just not quite the same matchup. So I'm totally fine with targeting Embiid once again here. Again, Ben Simmons at 8'7". I can't really ever get mad at anybody for playing him here, but he just hasn't looked very good in the last two games. Last game he only had two attempts, which is very weird considering Tobias, Seth Curry, and Milton were all out. So that was a little bit weird. But again,
how do you
again,
take two shots in an NBA game in 32 minutes? And a game that went to overtime.
Yeah, I know. It's very weird. Like it's not quite like him. Like he's usually around 8 or 9 at the lowest so far. I think other than that, 2-7 was the least amount of attempts he's taken in a game. But even still, like, obviously, he's probably not going to get to 10 points on two shot attempts, but even if he's not taking, you know, 15, 16 attempts, he has that triple-double upside every single night just because of what he does. So I don't ever mind Ben Simmons at 8-7, but I don't think he'd be a priority for me on the slate.
Yeah, and I think Tobias is a little too expensive at 7,900. I don't think we'll see him limited minutes, but, like, that price is too high for me because he's had a couple of really good games here and there, but he still falls in line to that, like, 30 to 40 fantasy point range. For me, most nights, I know you do a lot of projections, so it might be different for you. But like that's how I kind of view him as, like, more of a guy that gets you 35 to 40, but he won't often get you. Like, anybody that's got a significant usage rate and plays 35 minutes or so has a chance to get 50 on a given night, you know.
Yeah,
but he's more of a guy that's, like, 35 or so. And then, yeah, like I said, I have some interest in Shake Milton. I mean, Seth Curry being out is huge. I know Tyrese Maxey's there, and he's definitely earned a larger role, but Milton's still been, you know, operating as the sixth man. Maybe they keep Maxey in the starting lineup. Either way, Milton should play close to 30 minutes in this game or around it. You look at his numbers with Seth Curry off the floor this season, his usage rate jumps up by 4%. So he's at a 26% usage rate without Curry, averaging a fantasy point per minute. And Miami, you know, with all their team healthy, like, they were, over the course of the season, 22nd against primary ball handlers and 21st against opposing bench units. They're allowing the 8th most points to opposing benches. So if Milton comes off the bench at 5,200, he could still play 30 to 32 minutes. They'll close with him at times if he's playing well. So I kind of like Shake Milton. He's probably my second favorite Sixer here behind, of course, Joel Embiid.
Yeah, I don't mind taking a shot at him. Or even, like, even Maxi, like, it's going to be a smaller slate. It's a 5-game slate, so I don't even mind that, like, especially if I haven't, like, done minutes projection for them yet with all these guys returning. But I don't know how much I had, but the first game that Curry was out, I had interest in Maxi, so he was obviously a lot cheaper back then. And but I still had a feeling that he was going to crack the rotation. I think he saw 21 minutes. It was that game against Brooklyn. So if we're gonna have him around 21, 25, 20, in between 20 and 25 minutes, maybe he's interesting. But again, Shake Milton's gonna take the majority of those minutes, I would assume, back. So yeah, I don't mind Milton one bit.
All right, let's move on to Charlotte at Toronto. 221.5 total. The Raptors favored by 8. I think this game, and I started writing about it in my article, was pretty sneaky. Charlotte's coming off the front end of a back-to-back. Toronto's defense has not been as good as they have been in years past this year. I think they're 22nd in defensive rating so far this season. And they've been particularly bad against, like, scoring, shooting wings. So Terry Rozier and Gordon Hayward kind of stick out to me. But what are your thoughts on this game? Let's start with Charlotte.
Yeah, well, Hayward left the game last night, or I guess tonight as we're recording this, and he didn't return.
He did not see that.
Yeah, he stayed in the locker room at some point in between, I think, one of the quarters, and then he didn't return. So they said he was going to be day-to-day.
Calling it a hip strain, looks like, yeah. So
yeah, could potentially be back, but if he misses, like, that's a ton of usage, ton of minutes opening up for guys like Rozier, Devontae Graham. We could finally see get back to where he was last year in terms of some usage. So if Hayward is out, Graham is a guy that I'm going to have some interest in for sure, because, you know, we've seen him muster together some good games just because of efficiency. And, you know, the last two games he's had 14 and 15 shot attempts, so that's getting back to kind of what he was last year. But this is a guy who last season, 23-24% usage rate most of the season. So far this year he's at about 18 or 19%, so pretty big drop there with LaMelo Ball and Gordon Hayward joining the Hornets. So he would be the first guy that I think would get a boost, and people might not. I think people would latch on to someone like LaMelo Ball because everyone loves playing LaMelo Ball. However, he is coming off of a pretty bad game, so maybe the ownership falls on him. So yeah, the three guys right here, Ball, Rozier, and Graham, are kind of what I would be looking at right off the bat, guys to just pick up some of that Hayward usage. I never mind playing PJ Washington because his minutes are really strong. He's pretty much going to be around 30, 32 minutes most nights, and then he has upside for more. And he's just been really good this year. He's going to be a guy that benefits from that DraftKings scoring with the three-point bonuses. He likes to shoot some threes. So, yeah, PJ Washington and then those three main guards is where my interest lies. And like you mentioned, this Toronto defense has not been nearly as good as they were over the past couple of years. And they still have some pretty good defensive guards, like Lowry and VanVleet are really good defensively, but still with Rozier and Graham potentially, and even Ball potentially picking up more usage, that volume alone could carry them to a pretty strong performance here.
Yeah, and if Hayward's out, like, I wouldn't be shocked if we saw some lineups with Rozier, Graham, and Melo at the same time, because Toronto is not really rolling out big lineups right now. It's Lowry, VanVleet. Like, they're running a lot of sometimes Siakam at the five with OG and Powell. And then obviously Chris Boucher has been playing some five for them. I wouldn't be surprised about that at all. With Hayward off the floor this season, Terry Rozier at 28% usage rate leads the team. I already liked him before I realized that Hayward was hurt tonight. He's only, what, 6,200, I think he is, which is a fair price tag. He's still playing like 32.5 minutes per game. And Toronto this year, I mean, they are allowing the second most points per game to spot up shooters. Last year, they were bottom three as well. Rozier is averaging nearly 6 spot-up points per game, 13th most in basketball. I think it's a really good spot for Rozier in the first place. And if Hayward's out, that only adds to it. You could feel better about Devontae Graham as well. Before I saw Hayward was out, or not out, but hurt, I wasn't too interested in LaMelo at 7,600 just because he's still coming off the bench. And like, I think if, like, one of these players, one of the, like, if Rozier or someone gets traded, Melo's going to be an 8K player and he's going to be worth 8K. But yeah, if Hayward's out, then that kind of changes a lot for me because his minutes become way more solidified. And over the last couple weeks, he's been much better in fantasy. I mean, the last 2 weeks, he's second on the team in usage rate behind Gordon Hayward, and his 29% rebound rate during that span is second on the team. So he's getting a lot of rebounds, obviously. That would only help him. And yeah, PJ Washington seems like kind of like a safe cash play. He's always playing like 34 minutes, gets a lot of rebounds. He's been playing a lot of small ball five for them, which helps since Cody Zeller has been out too. Because Cody Zeller's been out and they've been playing small ball five with PJ Washington, I think this is another spot where Chris Boucher can play 30 plus minutes. And if that's the case, given he's averaging like 1.4 fantasy points per minute, I think he's got to be in consideration even at 6,500. What do you think about Toronto?
Yeah, I haven't really looked into why Boucher has been, you know, obviously his minutes fluctuate a lot and there's a lot of it to do with matchup, but obviously in that Portland game, he started the second half. And I want to say in the Sacramento game, he also started the second half. And that was when Alex Len started. So like if Alex Len starts, I think that is really good for Boucher because Len is a guy who's going to start and then not really pick up a ton of minutes. So, like that's the one trend.
10 minutes and started last game. Like, cool.
Yeah. So in the two games that he started this year, he played 12 against Phoenix and then 10 against Portland. And so if he starts like that, I think is a nice indicator for Boucher. Obviously, I think Boucher has the upside for minutes most nights because he's just really good. And they've said they're going to try and get him minutes and get him run. We haven't seen Baines in the past couple of days. So that's only good for – that's only even better for Boucher. So, yeah, I think he jumps out as a guy who is, A, kind of underpriced. I guess on DraftKings it's fine because they're, I guess – factoring in the risk for him potentially not getting a ton of run. So that does make some sense. But still, at 6'5", this guy has a massive ceiling to crush this price tag. I would absolutely love to take some shots on Boucher. And on a small slate, five games, what better time to take a shot on the guy who can go out and score 60 points in 25 minutes like we've seen him do it. So, yeah, Boucher is a guy that I think would probably be one of my favorite plays from Toronto. I always have the toughest time deciding between Van Vliet and Lowry. Like they're both, mm-hmm. they just seem so similar to me. They both play massive minutes. They both do similar things. I typically lean Van Vliet because I think he can get hot and score more in bunches, I suppose. So, but Lowry, he rebounds really well. 9 rebounds in the last 3 games. So he's averaging over 6 rebounds a game, as well as averaging over 6 assists. So I guess Lowry's a guy that kind of is going to fill the stat sheet up a little bit more. But Van Vliet is a guy who I think he can really fill it up. So don't mind taking a shot on either of these guys as well. And then Siakam, we saw what he can do. He had like 30 DraftKings points at halftime or something like that in that last game against Portland. So I don't mind going back to him either. He put up that triple-double. He's going to be a double-double threat most nights with some triple-double upside some nights here and there. So, yeah, the Charlotte matchup is just so good. Like, I don't want to sound like I just like everybody, but those main four guys, it's just hard not to like them because this Charlotte matchup is fantasy goldmine.
Yeah, and Toronto just plays their starters so many minutes. It's not quite Tom Thibodeau level, but it's up there. I mean, Siakam, Van Vliet, Lowry, OG, they play like 35 minutes a night in close games. And Siakam, he's been hot lately. Over his last 5 games, he's averaging 23.6 points, 9.5 rebounds, and over 6 assists per game, just under 49 fantasy points. So I'm kind of good with all those guys, and I think this is a really interesting spot, like you said, for Chris Boucher as well. All right, this game, very interesting, obviously. Probably going to be the focal point of the slate for obvious reasons. Houston at San Antonio. I don't think there's a line right now for obvious reasons, but in case you missed it, James Harden is not on the Rockets anymore, so he won't play in this game. And John Wall got ruled out like 2 hours before the trade got announced. So they're going to be without Harden, John Wall, who's out with a knee injury or soreness, Eric Gordon's questionable, and Daniel House is still out with the COVID protocols. So there's plenty of value to be had for Houston. We could see, you know, a lot of ball handling duties go to Eric Gordon if he's active. If Gordon's active, I have a tough time just not locking him in. I looked at his last 14 games without James Harden in the lineup for Houston. He's averaging 35 DK points per game, which is fine. It's not like the 50 or 40 you'd expect, but he's not like a assist or rebound guy. He's more of a scorer, but he has the obvious upside with Harden out to go for 50 fantasy points and 35 real points. And then he's also averaging 18 shot attempts per game in those games. And then last year with Harden off the floor, it's not a huge sample this year, so I went back to last year, over a 27% usage rate, 5% usage bump with Harden off the floor. So if Gordon's active and good to go, he's got to be right up there as one of the best plays this slate, you know, just per dollar and everything, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of these guys, a lot of the key to Houston is figuring out who's going to handle the ball here, because with no Harden, no John Wall, this would be a perfect spot if Chris Clemens didn't tear his Achilles. Like, he could get a start here, obviously a DFS darling, but obviously he's going to be out as well. So they have no true point guards. So I assume it'd be like Gordon if he's active. Sterling Brown could potentially handle the ball a bit. And then I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't just allow Christian Wood to handle the ball. I've seen it at times where, you know, he'd be on the floor with Harden and he'd be running some of their set pieces. So that's another, probably not an entirely, you know, long-term solution there. Like, they're not going to do it for long periods of time throughout this game. But yeah, Eric Gordon at 5-1. You know, even if he's not playing point guard, even if they're, you know, starting him and Sterling Brown, he's at 2, he's still just a very good play. He's going to be the main shot creator, I would assume. So I really like Eric Gordon. And again, fantastic matchup against the Spurs here. They are allowing the most fantasy points in the entire NBA to the opponent, not even just talking about certain positions. So they're just not playing a lot of defense. So very good for Eric Gordon. Sterling Brown jumps out to me as a guy who I think could potentially get a start here. He's been playing, you know, 15 minutes or so, 18 last game, 13 the game before, 18 prior to that, and then 14. So I think Sterling Brown could potentially get a nice little uptick in minutes. Wouldn't be surprised if he starts. Could change a bit with Ben McLemore back in the picture, but I think Sterling Brown is more kind of equipped to handle the ball a bit if they need him. So I think a lot of these wings, Nwaba potentially, McLemore, Sterling Brown, Eric Gordon, I think they're all really good plays. And then they've been talking about playing Wood and Boogie alongside each other. We haven't really seen it a ton, obviously, because Boogie's getting ejected every game, so we can't even tell. But this could be a spot where they do something like that as well. So these guys are also in play. I think Christian Wood is a fantastic play. 7-7 on DraftKings. Like, he's a guy that I'm just trying to jam in lineups.
I wonder how many minutes Christian Wood's played alongside Cousins this year.
How many?
0.7.
Hey, they probably tried it, and then Boogie's like, forget this, I'm getting tossed.
I think this offense is going to be really interesting for this game because Harden and John Wall, not too surprisingly given, you know, the system and the Rockets and everything, although I know they don't have D'Antoni anymore, but first and sixth in isolation possessions per game, they're both out. I think, and Christian Wood leads the NBA in pick and roll points per game as the roll man, but I think we're going to see just a complete change where I don't think you're going to be running a lot of pick and roll with Eric Gordon or Ben McLemore or Sterling Brown. I think it's a lot of post-ups from Boogie and a lot of post-ups from Christian Wood. And if they do play them both together, that'll help, obviously, the minutes for Cousins, who's been around the 18 mark where Christian Wood's been over 30. But, I mean, Cousins is like a sneaky assist guy, and if he's just touching the ball more, and he's what? He's under 5K now. Like, Cousins doesn't have to play 20. Like, he can play 23 minutes in this game at 4,700 and go for 40 fantasy points. I mean, he went for 34 in 18 minutes against the Lakers the other night. Like, I think the Rockets that are in play are Gordon, Brown, McLemore. Nwaba, I guess, is going to start and play a huge minute, but his usage is still going to be low, I'd imagine. So I'm still not too crazy about him. And obviously, Christian Wood and DeMarcus Cousins. PJ Tucker, I guess, at 3,800, but I feel like he's a player that benefits from Harden and John Wall because he just sits in the corner and he needs those guys to feed him otherwise. And with the other thing is PJ Tucker's not going to be walking into those 9 to 12 rebound games with Christian Wood and Cousins there because he was playing small ball five for the Rockets last year after they traded Clint Capella. It was him and Robert Covington playing the five. So probably wouldn't even go to PJ Tucker, but those other guys that I mentioned, they're pretty much all in play.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much, you pretty much summed it up perfectly. Like, these guys are all going to be in play. They're going to have a short rotation. They're going to have a lot of usage and opportunity to go around with Harden and Wall being gone. So, you kind of summed it up perfectly. I think Cousins is going to be potentially a bit of a contrarian play. Like, again, it's hard to really expect a ton of minutes out of him unless they do something differently than what they've been doing. Because even in that game that he started against Indiana on the 6th, he played 23 minutes. So that's kind of like where his ceiling is if he starts. Or maybe that's like his median if he starts. So I would assume like his ceiling is going to be 24, 25, maybe 26 minutes. But if he's coming off the bench, like you mentioned it, if he gets 18, 19, 20 minutes, he can get there. We saw it last game, like you mentioned. But again, it's going to be tough to really assume that he's going to be able to play a ton of minutes because we haven't seen it yet. But on a five-game slate, short slate, he's 4-7. Don't mind that at all. And like we've seen, he's a very good permanent guy. As long as he doesn't get tossed, he definitely has opportunity to get there.
DeMar DeRozan, on the other side, has been away from the team for a couple games with a personal matter. He's questionable to play in this game. LaMarcus Aldridge, I've been playing the last couple games. He's been pretty good. 6-7 for him. We haven't seen a ceiling for him much this year until the last couple games where DeRozan has been out. If DeRozan's out, I'm going right back to Aldridge here at 6'7". 28.6% usage rate with DeRozan off the floor this season. And before, in the beginning of the season, he wasn't posting up a lot. And then the last couple games without DeRozan, they've gone back to just saying, okay, this is our offense. We're just going to feed Aldridge in the post. The last two games, he's averaging 10.5 post-ups per game, most in the NBA during that span. And Houston's a bottom five post defense. So, yeah, Christian Wood, not a particularly great defender. If DeRozan's out, I'm going directly back to LaMarcus Aldridge and not really hesitating. Thoughts on the Spurs with and potentially without DeMar DeRozan, because they've been kind of nice to play without DeRozan, right? I mean, Keldon Johnson's already playing strong minutes, but he's been upwards of 38 minutes the last couple of games. He's been getting a lot of rebounds. And Lonnie Walker's gets a huge usage bump without DeRozan, and he's been fantastic in his last two games.
Yeah, I mean, if DeRozan is out, like, there's a lot of different places you can go to in this game. Like, even though DeJounte Murray's been pretty bad over the last two games, like, I still don't think he's seen like the peak of the usage that he could potentially see. 23% last game, 18% in the game two games ago, with DeRozan being out in both of those. So he struggled a bit, obviously, but he's a guy that can put up peripheral stats, so he doesn't necessarily need massive usage numbers. His price is up a bit, so he probably wouldn't be my favorite at this point. But yeah, like you mentioned, Lonnie Walker just getting massive usage bumps in these last two games with DeRozan out. 24% last game, 34% the game before that. Obviously, you can't really expect that 34 again. He had like 15 points in the first quarter, so they just kept feeding him the ball because he was their go-to scorer in that game. So, but yeah, then LaMarcus Aldridge, obviously you can go back to him. The one guy that I also like is Keldon Johnson. He got a little bit of a price drop. I think he was like 6'5 or 6'6 last game, down to 6'1 now. So don't mind Keldon at all. He had a pretty solid game last game, 32 DraftKings points after struggling in the game against Minnesota. In that first game, DeRozan was out, 20 DraftKings points in that one. So, yeah, those four guys are the main guys I don't mind going back to. Trey Lyles saw 35 minutes in the first game with DeRozan out because he moved him to the starting lineup. Last game, kept him in the starting lineup, but he only played 18 minutes, so that was a little bit weird. Hard to really get a feel for that trend. If he starts again, don't mind taking a shot on him. He's 3,500 on DraftKings. But, like Rudy Gay is someone that I've seen his name kind of tossed around. He had a big game last time because he was super efficient. He got three steals. Probably don't go back to him, though. The minutes just, at that point, like, Lonnie Walker is at a similar price. Keldon Johnson, about 1,000 more. Like, I would rather just take shots on those guys. So I'd probably stay away from Rudy Gay. But yeah, I think if DeRozan is out, these guys are all in play.
Yeah, if DeRozan's out, Aldridge and Lonnie Walker are my two favorites. But you can obviously mix in Keldon Johnson, Murray in tournaments and stuff like that. I think this game has legitimately like 11 players you can consider playing. Like, it's insane.
Yep.
All right, Golden State at Denver up next. Gary Harris was out in their last game with a personal matter. He's questionable again for Denver, and then obviously still no Michael Porter Jr. And Eric Pascal is back for Golden State. Steph Curry has been underwhelming in three of his last four games, 9,700 on DraftKings. Denver's defense has been terrible this year. They're a bottom five unit. I think this is a nice bounce back game for Curry. Thoughts on the Warriors? They've been kind of tough for me. It's like I've either played Curry or nobody, but lately I've been taking shots on Draymond because he's so cheap. He's playing, you know, 32 minutes each night pretty much, and he's not going to give you like a 50-point game, but the floor has been there because he's, you know, getting so many assists, he's handling the ball, and he's still going to get a lot of rebounds. So I think 5,400 is still a little bit too cheap for Draymond.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like, for me, Steph Curry, I love the spot for him here. Denver's defense has been very bad, and they've been especially bad against perimeter kind of ball handlers and scorers. Like, we've seen D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley. We've seen a few different guys go off against them as ball handlers and perimeter scorers. And a big kind of key for that is because they lost Torrey Craig, who was their go-to guy. Hey, we have, okay, Torrey Craig, go guard their best player on their perimeter and kind of shut them down. Now, typically, Gary Harris has historically been a decent defender as well, but he's been all sorts of banged up this year. One thing about him is whenever he's going against somebody that's like a guy like Curry or like Luka, like, we'll see him play a ton of minutes just to try to match up. So, like, against Dallas, 40 minutes. Against Phoenix, he played 36 minutes. Against Sacramento, he played 31. But in the first game against Sacramento, he played 42. So that's one thing that I have noticed. They did the same thing with Torrey Craig over the past couple of years. if they have a big time scorer that's a guard.
I remember I would just play Torrey Craig against the Rockets when he was cheap because he'd be on the floor against Harden all the time.
Exactly. So that's kind of what Harris has been doing. He's not as good of a defender as Craig is, but he might not even play in this one. So they don't really have anybody that is like that specialty defender anymore. So I love the spot for Curry. Plus, obviously, anytime someone's playing Golden State, it's a pretty good spot for them. So guys like Jokic, Jamal Murray, pairing them with Steph Curry makes a lot of sense because you want this game to stay close for everyone to hit their ceiling. So it's a nice little correlation play, pairing Curry with Jokic or even with Jamal Murray.
Jamal Murray is 6,900. He's been pretty bad this year, minus one or two games. Yeah. But, I mean, Golden State, I think they lead the league in pace. If not, they're right up there. Their defense has been pretty bad. This is a game where it's like, I know that Murray and Jokic still correlate with the dribble handoff, and you know who to run back with and Steph Curry. So, like, that trio as a stack makes a ton of sense, and it's probably a move I'll be making. But, like, if you're not stacking this game as a whole, I mean, Nikola Jokic has probably been the MVP of the league this year, averaging a triple-double. He's been absolutely ridiculous. But as a whole, do you prefer Jokic at 11K or Embiid at 10K? I think it's close.
I think it's close, but I think I lean Jokic slightly just because I also really like Steph. So pairing these guys up just kind of just makes me like them
maximize your upside.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be enough value, especially on that Houston side, you know, the Miami guys. Like, there's going to be value to do it, but it is close. Like, I still like Embiid, but no, Embiid, you know, they're getting Tobias back. They're getting Shake Milton back. Ben Simmons is going to be there. So he's getting those guys back. Jokic, it's pretty much just him, sometimes Jamal Murray, but he is handling so much of this team's offense right now. The matchup is phenomenal. So I really like Jokic tonight and on this slate.
The wings are a bit of a question mark from both sides here. I mean, Will Barton's been up and down with Michael Porter Jr. out. Monte Morris has been getting more run with Michael Porter Jr. out, and obviously Gary Harris potentially out. And then you have the Golden State guys like Andrew Wiggins and Kelly Oubre, who have just been, I mean, not great. I mean, Oubre's minutes have been down the last couple games, under 30. Wiggins has been playing huge minutes, and he's been fine. I just never, ever feel good about playing Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably pass on Wiggins, especially with the price boost. I'm totally fine going back to Oubre at 5'3". Like, I've been playing him pretty consistently. He hasn't really had a ceiling game yet. I think it's partially due to the fact that the Warriors haven't really shown the willingness to just give him massive minutes. His season high of minutes is 33. So, you know, not a ton of minutes coming from Kelly Oubre, but I still don't mind going back to him at 5'3". The guys that I would have the most interest in is Will Barton and PJ Dozier if Gary Harris is out. If Gary Harris is out again, I really doubt we see Bol Bol start again. I think that was more of just a matchup thing. Like, they wanted him out there with Kevin Durant last game. I don't know why, but maybe they wanted to try Bol Bol's defense on Kevin Durant. Didn't really work, but yeah, I think we could potentially see PJ Dozier start at the two if Harris is out, or at the three, and then Barton would start at the two or the three. And Barton got a pretty nice minute stabilization. I don't know if it's necessarily a boost. Like, I think he has the ability to get 38 minutes most nights if he's, you know, if he's playing well, if he's scoring. But with Harris is out, it's going to be hard for him not to, you know, see 32, 33, 34 minutes with upside for more. So Barton and Dozier are guys I also like a pretty good amount if Harris is out.
All right, anything else before we go to the last game?
I don't think I'm all set.
Indiana Pacers at the Portland Trail Blazers. Victor Oladipo, obviously no longer with the team. He has been traded to Houston, as we talked about. Caris LeVert with the Pacers, but not going to be able to make his debut here. So Pacers, I mean, they were already without TJ Warren. Now Oladipo's not there. Two, you know, relatively highest players. It just kind of just solidifies Domantas Sabonis and Malcolm Brogdon as great plays. I mean, they're both top 10 in touches per game. They're both heavily involved. Brogdon's assist rate's through the roof. I mean, Portland's a good enough matchup. Like, do we really need to say much about them? Like, if you want to play them, they're really strong plays, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty fantastic in terms of the matchup. And now with the usage opening up, I think we got a little bit of an insight last game when Oladipo sat, so we know a little bit about the rotation. McConnell should be back for this one, so that might change it up a bit. But I think that'll just push Aaron Holiday into the starting lineup and then have TJ McConnell be that backup like what Aaron Holiday was last game. So Yeah, for me, I love Brogdon. I love Sabonis. Obviously, a great matchup here. We're currently watching the Trailblazers play the Kings right now, and it's 114 to 112 with 8 minutes left in the game. Yeah. So Portland just doesn't ever really play defense. So, yeah, this is a great spot for them. The starting lineup will also be pretty important. If Aaron Holiday's in the starting lineup, I think his minutes are just super safe. And then even a guy like TJ McConnell, if he's going to be coming off the bench at 3K, I think he has a little bit more of a minutes boost there with no Oladipo, no TJ Warren. I guess he could be hurt a little bit by Edmund Sumner. But again, like if he's going to be getting a role similar to what Holiday got last game, I think he's a pretty interesting play as well.
Any interest in like Doug McDermott at 4K?
I think he's fairly interesting, but I don't know if he'll stack up to some of these other value plays that we have. Like right. A lot of the Miami guys have been priced up, but they're still about in that price range. Like Achiuwa is power forward eligible. He's $400 more than McDermott. So I'll just side with that. One thing that is important to note on the Trailblazer side is that Damian Lillard was a game time decision. He was probable and then a game time decision. So he might sit here. Maybe it's a back to back. Who knows? And that would open up some things for the Portland side. But yeah, on the Indiana side, I guess McDermott's probably a pass for me just because of some of the other value guys in the slate.
Yeah, if Lillard does end up sitting on the back to back, which, you know, it's I don't want to say it's speculation. It's just, I mean, it kind of is, but there's merit to it, obviously. You just kind of lock in TJ McCollum as one of the best plays of the slate. You know, maybe you have some of the other players on this team get more usage, like Gary Trent at 3,700. Then you have the, you know, Yusuf Nurkic situation. He was questionable on Wednesday night, ended up playing. Haven't seen how many minutes he's played, but he's been pretty underwhelming this year. He's been tough to get right. Enes Kanter has been eating into his minutes in production. I mean, maybe he's another guy. If he's a little bit banged up, he sits potentially. You know, if I had to pick one that might sit over between the two, it'd probably be Yusuf Nurkic. What do you think of Portland before we close it out here?
Yeah, that's a good point. Another guy who was also a game time decision. He's playing right now, so maybe they give him a rest. If he sits, Cantor's a very good play at 5-1. He's just going to probably work his way up into that near 30-minute mark. I mean, you can always play guys like Lillard and CJ McCollum. I always will prefer Lillard over McCollum when they're $700 apart from each other. Like, I just don't think – I think, A, CJ McCollum's price is probably a bit too high, and then, B, Damian Lillard's price is at the kind of low point of where it's probably going to end up being throughout the course of the year. So I always lean Lillard over CJ McCollum when they're this close in price. So no problem playing him, but again, like you already mentioned, guys like Steph Curry, who I like a bit more, Malcolm Brogdon, who I probably like a bit more for the $1,000 discount, and then some other guys as well. So probably don't play a ton of Lillard, but again, no problem with it at all.
Yeah, and I'll say if Nurkic does sit, Kanter has like a 49% rebounding rate with him off the floor, and he didn't play a ton of minutes when Nurkic left against Toronto the other night, because Toronto went smaller with Siakam and Boucher, and then as a result, Portland went smaller with Melo and Covington, but against Indiana with Sabonis and Turner, like they're going to need Kanter to play at least 25 minutes. And given how efficient he is, if he plays 25 minutes, he should smash at 5,100. So definitely keep an eye on Portland as the one of the two late games here at 10 o'clock. But that's it for us. Kyle, what do you got in terms of content over at FTN Daily on Thursday? Like I said, I'm filling in for Joe all week, who's away. Just had a baby, so congrats again to Joe. But I'm doing the game-by-game article and the five stats article that I've done every day this week.
Yeah, big congrats to Joe and the family over there. That's awesome stuff. But as for me and my content, I have the live stream every Monday through Friday with Chris Meany and Stefano, where we kind of break down the slate. That goes live at 5 p.m. Eastern time. I have the ownership projections and the player projections, as well as my player rater that's posted on the site every single day. And then my player rater report article that goes live around 4 or 5 Eastern time as well.
Love it. Great stuff. Kyle, appreciate you filling in for Joe. Obviously you, Javi, anybody, welcome on the pod anytime. We're all part of the same team. And yeah, we'll have one more podcast. Maybe Kyle will be back on Friday. Who knows? Joe won't be here, but then back to me and Joe the rest of the season and the rest of the weeks following. Again, congrats again to Joe. Best of luck on Thursday's 5-game slate. Enjoy the craziness that the NBA continues to provide us. Have a good one. We'll see you guys on Friday to close out the week.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the FTN NBA Podcast with Adam and Joe. Please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast.